My name is Joe, and I am a compulsive overeater. I'd like to start by reading something from the For Today book, and it is from July the 7th. And it says, "If all pulled in one direction, the world would keel over," a Yiddish proverb. It is rightly said that our common bond at Overeaters Anonymous is greater than our individual differences. Aside from the experience we share as compulsive overeaters, however, we are as diverse as any group of people anywhere. In offering help to someone who asks for it, I must keep individual differences in mind. We are not carbon copies of one another. What may benefit one person could be entirely inappropriate for another. Each of us must be free to find our own way, both in the adoption of an eating plan and in working the program. For today, am I helping those I sponsor find what works best for them? I will start out with something I said in a meeting a few weeks ago that caused a little consternation because of the two or three people that I sponsor in the meeting. And I said, I just hate sponsoring. And I really do hate sponsoring. You know, these people call at exactly the wrong time when I'm taking a nap, or at 7 o'clock when I'm not getting up till 8 o'clock. But you know what? I love sponsoring because I get so much out of it. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it's that love-hate relationship that I've had all my life with different things. One of the things that I remember my first sponsee that I ever got, I was probably about 9 months, 10 months, so abstinent. And the guy was when I met him and was started to sponsor him, he weighed about 250 pounds. I think his top weight was a little over 500 pounds. And you know, I just probably did everything wrong because I wanted him to follow my plan of eating. I wanted him to do it the way I wanted him to do it. And you know, it was really a very bad situation. He did go back out, and he gained 250 pounds in 1 year. And but what I learned from that was I learned a lot, and I've learned a lot since then. And I think that one of the things that I've learned is that I am a different, unique individual. And what works for me is not going to work for you. One of the things I often say is that if I follow your plan of eating, I'll probably weigh 1,200 pounds. If you follow my plan of eating, you'll probably weigh 1,200 pounds. And so what I had to learn was that I had to learn how to just share my experience, strength, and hope. And I think that that is really what sponsorship is about. Now, the other thing, you know, is that two things that came to mind when I was thinking about this meeting tonight was one was secrets and one was trust. What I heard in my very first meeting was that you're only as sick as your secrets. And that stuck with me because at 39 years, I had so many secrets that I did not want anybody else to know. I thought that if they knew it, if they knew that my secrets, they would have nothing to do with me. And so what it was that you know, I then heard that you have to trust. You just have to trust. Trust the process, trust God, trust that everything will be okay no matter what. I came into the program in on February, I mean on May 28th, 1983. It was a bad month for me. I was waking up every day wanting to die. And I tried to probably kill myself with an automobile the week before. But when I walked into that meeting, I found something that I had never found before. And that was hope. Hope that things could change in my life, that I could feel different from the way that I felt all my life on the inside. Now, you know, and that is something that I still find in these meetings. I'm one of those people that have clinical depression. And most people would never know it. I was speaking with a group of my art friends one day, and they're not in the program, and someone had killed themselves, depressed. And I said, "Yeah, you know, I tried to do that," and they didn't understand it because none of them were depressive. They've never had depression. But what it was that was one of my secrets. My other secret was that I was gay. Another one was that I had been incested and sexually abused. These were secrets that I thought that I would carry to my grave. But you know, what I learned was that, you know, in the program, I could be Joe without any ifs, ands, or buts, and everything would be okay. I told my deepest, darkest secret to the two people that brought me in the program one day, and they said, "We know, we still love you." And I think that that really was the start of my recovery. I got a sponsor within 2 months in the program. I picked someone who had what I wanted. He was the thinnest person in the room. And, you know, I later found out he was anorexic, but, you know, I didn't realize what anorexia was at that point. And I really took the first step right after I tried to kill myself with the automobile. When the doctor said, you know, you need to lose weight. And what I said was, I've been thinking about going to Overeaters Anonymous. That's when I thought that I think that I took the first step. The second step came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity was that the Friday after my first meeting, I mean, the Saturday after my first meeting was Memorial Day weekend. And I went to visit my family at a family reunion. Probably not the best day way to start your abstinence. I had talked with the people that brought me to the program that morning. I had a couple of questions, you know, like, do I need to go to more than one meeting a week? You know, you sure this isn't a cult like the Moonies? Because there seemed to be a lot of chanting and praying in that meeting. And they said, no, it's not a cult. You need to go to more than one meeting. And so I went to that first family reunion. And of course, they knew where to punch all my buttons because they had put them there. And so what it was that I'd made the mistake of telling them I was on a diet. And all weekend I heard, "Joe, can you have this? Joe, can we make you something special? We can't make ice cream. Joe can't eat ice cream." On Monday, I came away from that having had, as I heard in that first meeting, three meals a day, nothing in between, and no sugar. And that's what I've been following since May the 28th, 1983. It has been never been perfect, probably never will be perfect. And so I took the third step when I walked away from my family without overeating. I got a sponsor right away, as I said. He was the thinnest person in the room. When I was going to OA at that point, the meetings were very big. My first meeting was probably 100 people. And, you know, they all went out to eat afterwards. There was usually about 50 to 60 people at the meeting. I really learned how to socialize and how to eat at those meetings because I would see what people who had what I wanted were eating, and then that's what I would order. And so I started a learning process. I told my first sponsor about a month after I got him. And I said, "I want to start doing a four step." And he said, "Oh, no, wait." And I said, "No, I need to do a four step." I did a fourth and fifth step. It took me about 6 months to do. I gave it away under some circumstances. I had to do another one. And, you know, that's the way that I started to work the steps. I got that first person that I sponsor. Now, I will say that over the years, I've had many sponsors. I have had sponsors both in AA, where I'm sober, been sober since October of 83, and I've had sponsors in AA and OA. I will admit right now, I do not have a sponsor. My sponsor died, and I have not found a new one. I'm looking, and I will find one. And so, what it is that what I said was the other thing was that you're only as sick as your secrets, and you have to trust. You have to trust. And that sponsor was the first person I ever trusted with my deepest, darkest secrets. And that was important. You know, it was important that I knew and realized that they were not going to go out and spread the word about Joe all over everywhere. And so what I did was I started then to trust with other things. The way that I sponsor today is I start the people on the steps and I try to get them to start right away. I have had basically two different kinds of sponsees over the years. I have had the kind that asked me to sponsor them, or three kinds. I've had the kind that asked me to sponsor them and I never hear from again. Two is I have someone who I sponsor and I take through about three or four steps and never hear from them again. And then I have the sponsee that I take through the steps all the way. So it's something that, I was kind of thinking, what's wrong with me when my first sponsee went back out? And what I came to realize is there's nothing wrong with me as long as I'm abstinent and sober. And what I needed, why was that sponsee put in my life? What could I learn from that sponsee? And I think that that is the important thing for me to remember today. I talked with about three sponsees today. And, we talked about one of them. We didn't talk about anything food-wise. We talked about different things that were going on in his life. And of course, what it is it's not about the food. It's about the way that I'm handling life. And I never could handle life very well. After some emotional sexual abuse by my grandmother and she died, I continued to sleep in the same bed. And I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would stay awake till 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning because I had all of these questions I didn't answer. What's after death? When did the universe start? How did we all get here? Questions that nobody can answer. And one night I called my mother, which she was not happy with because they lived in a house next door. And she had some magic words. She said, "Go get some cookies from the kitchen and some milk, and that will help you to sleep." And I basically went from about 75 pounds to over 300 pounds in 2.5 years. I took it to the extreme. What I tried to get sponsees to look at, and what I have to look at myself is, it's not about the food. It's about living in the now, living in the present. And I think that the greatest gift of the steps is you become neutral with the past. You become neutral with the past. I was one of those that either lived in the past or lived in the future, and I could never live in the now. And so what I've had to do is learn how to live in the now. As Betsy Elizabeth knows, about 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, on a Monday was fine. I went to a meeting, an art meeting. Everything was fine. I woke up Tuesday morning, and I had no hearing in my left ear. And I think people around me have been more worried than I have been about that, because at 80 years old, if that's the worst thing that happens to me in my life, I will be extremely happy. What living in the now, and I try to get across to my sponsees, is it's living right now to the fullest. And you do that by living and by, I quit working the steps a long time ago. I try to live the steps today. And also, too, as I heard in a meeting in Georgetown, and I remember it well, I didn't want to be there, but it was a traditions meeting, which I hate at the time. I don't anymore. And I heard at that meeting something that changed my life. They said living the traditions is harder than living the steps. And that's what I try to get by to my sponsees, is I try to get by to live the steps and to live the traditions, to be self-supporting through my own contributions, those types, unless I win the lottery. And then, what it is I have to live the steps and I have to live the traditions. And one of the most important words in both of those is practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, as a gay man, I have some certain ideas about certain subjects. like religion and politics, and I never discuss those with sponsees. Those are topics that's off balance. I have one sponsee that used to was on a gratitude list with me and others, and he used to put a Bible verse every day in the message. And I ignored it because I'm good at that. But some other couple of people have it. And I called the guy up and I said, you know, I'm gay. There's a lot of gay men that is on this list. We would appreciate it if you would not put Bible verses in it because religion is a very bad thing for some of us. And I think he learned a lesson. I think he learned a lesson that day. And what it is about me being honest with other people, but not in a hurting way. And that's what I try to teach to my sponsees. The other thing was very early on when I sponsored, I had a sponsee who used to call me up and he would go on and on and on and on. And I would cut him off. And then I would say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look at that doing that. And one day he said, Joe, you're so amazing. You won't let me whine on for a while. And then you just cut me off and ask a couple of questions and suggestions. And he says, so amazing. I didn't want to tell him I couldn't stand to talk on the telephone. I had a phobia against talking on the telephone. So I figured out how to not do that. And so what it is now I can talk on the phone. I talked with somebody today for 30 minutes and I really enjoy it. I also try to get my sponsees to go to meetings. And they seem to fight that very much. I loved meetings from the very beginning. I had lived in Houston for 7.5 years, and I knew three people other than business people. I was, and I can be still, an isolator. I like to isolate. And so what I did was I found companionship. I found intimacy. I found a relationship. I found out how to have relationships in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. So I love to go to meetings. And so what I did was I continue today. There have been some spells when I haven't wanted to go to meetings and I haven't gone to meetings, but I've always come back. And so what it is I try to get my sponsees to go to meetings. I suggest that they look at doing prayer and meditation in the morning. I read four different meditation books in the morning, and I have a meditation period, and I pray at that meeting. I mean, in the morning. Some mornings it's quick, some mornings it's real long. But what I do is I offer my suggestions, and I don't beat people up when they don't follow them. That is none of my business. It's the program is for those people who is not for those who need it, it's for those who want it. And that's what I remember. And they can take my suggestions. And some people I've sponsored have 35 or 40 years in the program. Some have, well, one person has one day today. And so, that's none of my business because I make it all about today. I also try to get them to realize, like I did, that my goal weight is what I weigh today. If I'm eating healthy for my body, which means if I'm overweight, I'm eating to come down to a healthy weight. If I'm underweight, I'm eating to come up to a healthy weight. And if I'm at a healthy weight, I'm eating to stay at a healthy weight. And that's been real, real important for me. I don't beat sponsees up when they leave the program. I don't beat sponsees up when they have two helpings of asparagus rather than one that they had committed to. And so what I do is I try to be gentle and loving and only things. The other thing was, I'm not Jewish, but I heard that Jewish rabbis always answer a question with a question. It works beautifully. If they ask you a question, then ask, what do I think I should do? I'm in this situation. Well, what do you think you should do? And that works. My time is up. I do want to read one thing, which may take me about 20 seconds over. And this is from June 12th in For Today book. We know what a person thinks not when he tells us what he thinks, but by his actions. Members of Overeaters Anonymous who practice the principles of the 12-step program in their lives are said to walk the way they talk. Newcomers sometimes find it difficult to distinguish them from our brothers and sisters who merely talk the talk. There are some in the latter category, by virtue of having lost weight, are thought to be authorities on the program. They tell us how to eat, how to work the program, what to do about our problems, in short, how to live our lives. To know what people really believe, we must look not at what they tell us, but what they do. What is the state of their personal relationships? Is there some stability there as a result of practicing the program of recovery? Or are they leaving a trail of wrecked lives as they go? These individuals are still sick, though they may be abstinent and maintaining normal weight. For today, I may fool myself and others, I may fool myself and others by my talk, but my illness cannot be fooled. And I always like to end with this. They say in AA that even if your ass is falling off, don't drink. And I like to say in OA, if your ass is falling off, don't overeat. And more than likely, your ass will fall off. Thank you very much.